Thank you for rolling out the barrels of fun.
Thank you, Valor. Great time.
What, and just as a real quick ending, when's the next time people could catch your act? Best chances of catching your act.
Well, sometimes you can catch me around North Beach, but are you going to put contact information for me up on the website?
I can do that.
Yeah, go ahead and do that because, you know, a lot of these are private parties.
Oh, sure.
to have the paparazzi show up.
Yeah, no, I know. You got to be careful about that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, so tell your listeners they can give me a call anytime. Discount rates in San Francisco if you say you called from Mutiny Radio. And then I'd be happy to show up and rail out a few tunes.
Very cool. Well, you'll get the, make sure I have that information before you go, and we will spread the word.
Yep, and as I said, the copies are available on Amazon, or you can support your local bookstores, too, if you live in the Mission. Dogeared Books, Adobe Books, Folio Books, look for them.
So cool. Lorenzo Lucchese, it's a pleasure. I'm so happy you're here today. Everybody appreciates you being here. And if you're looking out for these books, folks, Lorenzo Lucchese, you spell Lucchese L-U-C-C-H-E-S-I, an Italian after my own heart. My parents, or my San Francisco ancestors, we could say, started in North Beach about six generations ago, and some of them became part of the Italian opera, so I definitely have a soft spot in my heart for our performer here and North Beach and the music and the arts of our fine city. You've been listening to Mutiny Radio here. We are the Common Thread Collective. So when you go to mutinyradio.fm, click on the podcast archive, you scroll and you see Common Thread Collective. And today's podcast will be posted after 6 p.m. And today is January 11th, 2019. That's 111 to you and me, everybody. I'm Global Val. Let me play a little music for you from some of our friends here in the Mission District called Mission Delirium, because we've had an upbeat day and they're going to keep us going. We'll be right back.
tariru trishai kato bhumir bhodin mode tariru trishai rum chum 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 rum chum chum rum chum 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 rum chum chum ke tur patai nuturu bajai ke jai jai
La 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 la
দিয়াল বাবু বলে দুনিয়া এই সর্দার বলে কামেকা আরে বাবু বলে দুনিয়া সাহেব বলে নিব বিধের চা এই যদুরাম ফাঁকি দিয়া চলাইলিয়া সা আরে ফাঁকি দিয়া চলাইলিয়া সা
শীতল ভূতলে আমার কাজ কি লোটা ভোট কম বলে কাজ কি লোটা আমার কাজ কি লোটা ভোট কম বলে সম্বলের নাই প্রয়োজন রে সম্বলের নাই প্রয়োজন.
I hope you've enjoyed that extended musical break that we had going on here on the Common Thread Collective. This is from a CD that Bloodflower handed to me a few weeks ago, and I haven't had a chance to play it yet.
A lot of fun, huh?
It is a lot of fun. Arko Mukherjee. If I say it a few times fast, it'll sound better. Mukherjee. Arko. And the album is called Five. Collaborations, influences, chapters. Maybe five of each of those. This is really lovely music.
I did some Beatles melodies and stuff.
Okay, interesting. Well, I'll post it. So you could check it out at arkomusic.com. Arko is A-R-K-O. music.com, and we'll put it up on our Facebook page as well. We've been having a great afternoon here. We're surrounded by friends, new and established, and writers, musicians, poets, anarchists, rabble risers, and philosophers, political wonks, and the like.
Staten Island.
Let me turn on your mic, Dave. Sorry.
Okay.
There you go.
Eddie K has just joined us. Hey, Kay, welcome.
Hey, Dave.
And
hey,
we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about it a bit. The fact that we're going to have a special book party here on Saturday.
Tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Wowzy. And we'll be talking more about that. But there's planting some seeds. So stay listening. It'll be tomorrow afternoon. The book party is E.K.'s book, which is?
Ordinary Villains, Dave.
Ordinary Villains. So stay tuned. There's going to be a star cast of characters that are going to be backing you up. They're going to be having your back. They're going to be enjoying the occasion. Am I right so far?
You are right so far.
Okay, we'll talk about this as we go out to plant those seeds. I have Joan. Have you two met Joan, E.K.?
Hey, Joan. How you doing?
Oh, I'm fine.
Joan Rivard is back.
Glad to see you. It's been a while.
And I met Joan. A little bit of hipstery here. I met Joan up at Hippie Hill, I believe. And I began to discover that Joan, up from L.A., was taking real interest in the kids of Hate Street. The Wanderers, the Faith Made Riders, those that used to be called Gutterpunks, Crusties, and now just the homeless kids they call themselves. Traveling, and so is that right? And you've taken a special interest in who they are and what they're about, that generation.
I sure have. I showed up there, you know, chasing the dream like other people that go there, and it's a special place. It has a special energy. It represents something so amazing that hasn't happened very often, if ever, in history.
And what's that?
So many young people, so many people from all different backgrounds, all different rich, poor, races, everything, got together and wanted peace. You know, I saw a picture of the Summer of Love where the whole street was just packed elbow to elbow, you know, and that happened. And it's a very important historical event. And so I'm trying to find and hold on to what remains of it, because I feel that it's a valuable resource in this country. We've got to enjoy it and make use of it, because it's deeper than a lot of people might realize.
And some of those that you've befriended, taken interest in, it's helping tell the stories of, just like Leonard was telling the story of his book, of telling the stories that they have to say. People still have felt that there's something about Hate Street that brought them to by whatever means. Many times not in some automobile bill, not in no sports car, but by freight train, by the thumb, by other way they came here to be on Hate Street, and that part of the park where Hate Street ends and the park begins.
And I fell in love with them. They're amazing people. When sitting down and talking to them, I found that they're so spiritual, unbelievable. I mean, they live these hard lives. They get the stuff taken away, the dogs, just terrible things happen to these people, and they sleep in the rain and on the ground, and yet they're always talking about love and peace and understanding and, you know, the dream, and they're so alive. And you know, I've come to think, I think I realize that there's something more natural about them than a lot of people, just because they're outside and just because they're not plugged into a lot of electronics and they're not, you know, hobbled with debt and schedules and having to get up before dawn to go to stupid work to drive 3 hours. It's horrible. It's horrible the way people are living, mm-hmm. you know. And it's not the way this country was intended. And I still believe in this country because that's all we've got. You know, the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, we can't just dump those. That's all we've got. But I want you to know, I love my any anarchist friends, but I am not an anarchist because that has a very bad label. And
well,
there's a lot of things in our movement that have a very bad label that have been poisoned by other people, you know, which were good in the things were good in the first place, but... they got twisted around.
Well, we're practicing our First Amendment rights right here, so feel free. Our right of speech, the press, the impress, and what it is we put out there. We're not up to practice our First Amendment rights to do that. So welcome, Joan.
Yes, freedom of assembly.
Well, I came back to Haight Street after being gone for about 4 months. And I was just shocked at the change that had taken place. Now, I could be wrong, you know, maybe these people come back, but this time I think it's different. This whole magic was happening over there, and then when I came back, the kids were gone. The park had 8 cameras put up around the beautiful pond where they all used to hang out. And they had been chased away. I heard that 3 dogs were actually shot as they were trying to arrest these kids for, you know, sitting on the sidewalk or drinking or panhandling or camping, these kinds of, you know, life quality.
But remember, these are the winter months. This is the time a lot of these kids... They live from the pack on their back. If they can go down south, they can go to Weimar Climbs, and I believe that many of them are there, whether they be in Mexico or whether they be wherever they happen to be, and they'll be back as it warms up. Wait and see.
This may be true. You know, they're afraid to lose their dog. They're afraid they lose all their belongings when the police stop them. A lot of them. They also get their stuff ripped off. But, you know, this is the place. This is the hippie capital of the world. This belongs to us in some way, in a spiritual way. There are other places that might be similar, but, you know, this is a focal point for that movement. Well, yeah, they might be back.
A lot of some will be back, but and that's the banner you fly, is helping put the message out. In fact, you have in front of you part of your book, is that right?
Yes, I do.
And I'd love to hear you read something. I think you already have it picked out, and that will be definitely, how do we say that, food for thought.
I will. But I wanted to talk about how it felt to come back. I want to tell that story, if that's okay.
Okay.
I had it written down,
please,
but that section I didn't bring with me.
But tell me, this is right. I just said this is free speech. Go ahead.
All right. When I came back, I looked down the street. There was hardly anyone there. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. And it was partly because the McDonald's closed down. And that McDonald's restaurant, as much as a lot of us don't like fast food, it was the only place where they could get warm and get out of the rain and buy something for a reasonable price to eat and a warm drink. And without it, it's just made it a lot harder. And then the cameras, and then I found out about the cameras that there's 8 of them put up all around where they all used to sit and visit and have their community, and there's nobody out there. There was nobody. It was so strange, you know, even on a beautiful warm day, nobody sitting on the grass. And another thing is there's some beautiful pillars at the end of the street that were painted rainbow colors. We call them the rainbow stairs, and purple on each side, big pillars, and there were trees, evidently, before I got there. I didn't notice before I left on my trip, but there used to be trees where they used to sit underneath. So they cut the trees. They put up a no loitering sign, and now they're planning to paint the steps brown, all of them. And I don't know, I just feel that it's a magic that we want to hold on to. It's something valuable. It's beyond just a fad or even a historical event. In my opinion, the things that these kind of people teach, you know, the long-haired hippie with the peace signs, even with short hair, I'm not saying they have to look the same, but that mentality, it's what saves planets. This planet is in a whole lot of trouble. Everybody knows that. I mean, the surveillance alone is nightmarish. I don't want to live in Orwell's world. And what have we got to unite people, to turn them on, to give them hope? You know, when I would see these kids and go out and talk to them, it made me feel better. It often made me feel better. You know, they know how to do things. They know how to build things. They know how to fix things. They know how to survive. You know, a lot of us are becoming more and more helpless as the machines take over and the jobs and the debt takes over. And, you know, we're separated from our loved ones and our communities, and we're each in little cubicles. It's not a normal way for human beings to live. And yet people are so good, they're not that violent. There's not that many weirdos as they want us to believe. And, you know, I'm seeing how hard they try to frighten us and make us afraid of our fellow man. And I'm saying also, a point which hasn't been driven very much, that what the hippies believe in, cooperation, forgiveness, that people are basically good, that's exactly what Jesus taught. That's what those churches should be teaching instead of the horrible, awful stuff that Paul the Apostle added to the Bible, which is full of stuff Jesus did not teach, and it's really nasty. It says slaves obey your masters, obey every ordinance of man, that's Peter, women are horrible, you're a curse, you're born in sin, all that stuff was added, unbelievable. And so we're finding these people who don't think they're guilty and evil and born in sin and everything, and man in its natural state is pretty cool.
I got there in 1966. I was down here in San Francisco first in 1957, North Beach, Beatniks we were soon called, and then 1966, back to help kick off the hippie movement at the very beginning. So we see that there's been the rise and fall. There's been people called the Coal Street Neighbors. They're the ones who most, we had a soup kitchen. Did you know the soup kitchen where everybody would come to eat together?
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
Monday through Tuesday through Friday. Every day, everybody would come together and eat together.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot of work. Tuesday
through
Friday.
It was. I was volunteering Thursdays and kind of maitre d'. We had volunteers. We had people who loved doing it. We had amazing donations of food. We got through the Department of Agriculture and all that. Tuesday through Friday, and then Monday you can go to All Saints Church. This is the '70s. Into the '80s, and then they All Saints Church on Saturday and Sunday. And then Monday, Food Not Bombs would serve, right there at the end of 8, where the park begins, and that very stomping ground you're talking about.
Oh, that's really cool.
The stomp has gone on. That's what I said. People will come by. Rainy weather is a chance to leave San Francisco if you can, and people do, but many people do come back.
I'm more concerned, though, about how they make laws giving some people $1,000 fine for feeding the homeless.
That's what
I'm concerned about laws saying you cannot live in your car or in a tiny house when you know they're kicking so many people out with these impossible rents all over the whole country, not only San Francisco. You know, how are we going to stop this? How can we not be victims to financial entities that want to make the laws to tailor their profit and suffer so much? You know, how many people?
Not like there's an alternative either.
Well, we better begin to build an alternative.
We have to find an alternative.
It's on us. song that we'll be doing right here on a Friday afternoon to put that out there, wherever we are, to begin to connect to one another and let it emerge, that's what I say. I say, and whatever, whether it be the liberal wing of the Democratic Party, all the way to anarchist, we're all in this together. I like Elizabeth Warren for president. I said months ago, I said, that's my candidate. Now she's running. And I think it's time, it's the time of the woman. I'm all for it.
I'm a Democrat, and I think all of us should unite behind one party. That's my personal opinion.
Not always
popular, but that's what I think. I don't see how else we can swing anything. You know,
well, people are going to do what they're going to do. Hopefully, we have the Women's March. But mention that again.
That's true. The Women's March is going to be next Saturday, January 19th, here in San Francisco and around the country. I interviewed one of the co-founders and the co-chair of Women's March San Francisco today on Women's Magazine. So that podcast is up. So the January 11th, 2019 podcast for Women's Magazine.
That's going to be huge.
And it's going to be huge.
And so
there'll be a rally at 11:30 at Civic Center, followed by a march down Market Street to the Embarcadero starting at 1:30 p.m. And they have a huge slate of speakers bringing together, so the theme this year is the Women's Wave. So the first year it was Women's March, Hear Our Voices. Second year it was Hear Our Vote, First We March, Now We Run. And now with the election of over 125 women around the country, not only the 117 that were elected to Congress, but governorships, local elections all around the country, has been a wave of success, successful women candidates who have stepped up. And so the Women's March of D.C., that particular group, have formed what they're calling a women's platform that they're going to be pushing and pursuing in Washington, D.C., to not only obviously get all of these women who've been elected, who have just been sworn in, but to continue to work with them and to continue to push forward agendas that include everybody in society and take into account those who are less fortunate in a system that benefits, you know, those who get in line and, you know, try to be greedy. So I really do see that there's a shift in the hearts and minds, and now actually in elected offices across the country. And I'm excited by the amount of energy that people are pouring into this right now, because it's not just a sound bite anymore. You know, I think part of the reason why we're in the mess we're in is because, sure, there were elected officials, but, you know, maybe you'd vote, maybe you didn't, and then they'd go into office, and then nobody would ever say anything to them again, except a few, you know, loud constituents. And right now, it's many loud constituents, and so I feel like we're moving towards a more accountable type of structure. People are ignited, and So come on out to the Women's March next Saturday, the 19th. Rain or shine, it was pouring the first year.
It sure was. I'm still coughing from that time, 2 years ago.
Oh, gee. Oh, no.
And I was wearing this color. That's why I wear this. This is my protest pink.
Oh, protest pink.
That's what it is.
I know. We're here on the radio. We wish you could see Joan LaVar. She's so colorful.
People get flashes.
And a lot of your writing is on your website, peacedrums.org.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, it is. I appreciate that.
What selection did you bring today?
I have a couple pieces I can read. I thought I was going to read my stories about getting back to the hate, but I'll read these others that came earlier when the kids was all still there. There's still some there. There just aren't as many.
There'll be back. There'll be more back come spring. The Rainbow Gathering is going to be in Minnesota this year, so you're going to see people began to flow up here, go up north to Portland, across to Seattle, and then across the country to Lake Superior, to the Superior National Forest. That's going to be happening too.
We
want to hear from you.
All right. Making friends on Hate Street. That was just one of my little experiences as I got here and met all these people. I find it hard to just walk down Hate Street if I'm in a hurry, because there's just too many things to see and people to meet. The beautiful buildings and exotic shops, the art murals covering so many of the walls, are enough to slow you down. But more than anything, it's the people who are irresistible. Many of them unusually friendly because of what this place represents. the house free, that's what I called it, the nomads, are always willing to start a conversation, whether you give them any money or not. Without being plugged into electronics, meeting people is their form of free entertainment. The benches in front of the Haight Street Grocery are a good place to sit, where tourists and the house free can interact in a meeting of worlds. There's often a knot of people blocking the sidewalk there, and two or three leashed road dogs lying down in the planters next to the benches, where well-groomed paying customers sit next to untamed wild nomads and enjoy conversations. The nice thing about the organic grocery store is that it lets people sit there without buying anything. I sat down in the sun and watched a conservative-looking man having a good time giving away chocolate to the nomadic young people. His hat had a rainbow on it, and he seemed so excited about the encounter. You could tell he was going to tell the folks back home about it. I met the group blocking the sidewalk, a girl and two guys going to Pennsylvania with two bikes and five dogs. The boy had a small dog riding in his shoulder on his shoulders, and another slung into his shirt. The two leashed big brown dogs rested in the planter, and a smaller dog, the mother of the two littlest dogs, with that. We had a rousing discussion about religion and politics, which is permitted on the Haight, unlike at family gatherings. We all agreed with everything each other said. We exchanged poetry. I'd like to point out that just because young people travel together doesn't mean they are romantically involved or intimate. There are so many reasons why it's better to travel with someone rather than traveling alone. A young woman on the road is certainly much safer with a male escort and a couple of dogs than she would be alone. A traveling partner can watch your stuff or watch your dog when you need to go somewhere or go into a store. They can tell your family or friends if something happens to you and you need help. In so many ways, traveling with a partner can help with the work of survival, as well as providing the companionship which human tribes are designed for. Most of us feel scared alone in the forest. Then they and their dogs left to go to Pennsylvania. And I continued on up the street until I stood in front of the amazing tie-dye emporium at Haight and Masonic. All around are unique buildings and decorations, but this one stands out with its big rounded pillars painted in rainbow colors. The store sells nothing but tie-dye. Walking into it is an experience, surrounded by the brightest colors and designs imaginable and stuff hanging from the ceiling. I met a smiling, white-haired woman in the back who said Jesus was a feminist and told me about an epiphany she had about a synchronized time in life. I bought a blue tie-dyed top hat for a princely sum. Out on the street, there was a young man wheeling an old man in a wheelchair near the bus stop next to Whole Foods. He had a beautiful Christ-like look on his face, framed by medium-length, thin, dark blonde hair. He was very thin. They were not related, but the younger man was taking care of him tenderly. It was easy to start a conversation, and soon I was reading something I wrote to them, and the old man was pulling out of his backpack something he wrote that he wanted to read to me. Then he timidly asked if I could help them get something to eat. I could tell they really needed it and gave them some money, hoping it would buy them something at McDonald's. At McDonald's, I met a girl with 9 alien tattoos. A guy walked in, immediately started talking about God. See, it's kind of random. I just meet all these people. Thank you.
Journalistic.
Good writing. Go ahead. Thank you. A guy walked in, immediately started talking about God, energy, and aliens. He knew a lot. He said, laughing, that he likes his independence and would tell a girl, I may not be Mr. Right, but I'm Mr. Right now.
Oh. Wah, wah. Wow.
Then I met two girls, one with dreadlocks and one with turquoise hair. We read poems and had a good talk about Haight Street magic. You could see they were homeless, but like so many others, they said they were happy. Then I joined a group of youth sitting on the curb of the planter next to Whole Foods. We discussed life and shared poems, shouting to overcome the noise of traffic going by. And that's that one.
Well, that's delightful. don't you think? You really catch it.
Yeah.
This is a walk on 8th Street. The cast of characters. What's it about? And here, speaking of 8th Street, here'd be Sapphire Whitaker. Sapphire.
Yeah.
8th Street.
Dad, give me a shout out, Dad. Shout out to 8th Street. Everything in Hay Street bound and about, looking beautiful each day. The war is not going to take the young kid, and we're very happy about that. Amen. And be good to you and you to others. Amen. Love you, Dad.
Thank you, Sapphire.
Yeah, Sapphire.
She's on Hay Street every day. You see her there. Anyways, is there something else you'd like to read?
I would like to, if you want me to. Maybe another one.
Yeah, read another
like
one.
That.
What do you think, Val?
This one is called A True... do you mind?
Okay, we have time.
Okay, there's a true more. Love story. Okay. Oh, yeah. On another morning walk, I ran into a somewhat disheveled 20-something young man with short blonde dreadlocks, and we sat on a stairway of one of the row houses and talked. The lady who lived there was nice when she came out to go to work, greeting us with a smile as she stepped over my satchel and sleeping... No. I guess I had it with me, so I didn't sleep there. Okay, I had it with me because I slept at an artist friend of mine's that I sometimes can crash if it's cold, instead of my truck when I go there. I don't live in my truck. I just would go there and spend the weekend. Okay, that was a little confusing. She declined my offer to move them. I said, you want me to move the stuff? She said, no. You could tell this was San Francisco. This young man I met, he started telling me how much he was in love with his wife. They were high school sweethearts named Darian and Adrian. He said, I don't know what she sees in me to choose to stay out here with me. He said they had two children who lived with his mom. He said the state took their first baby at delivery, though there was no pot in his system, only some in the mom. Then they took the second one, even though there was no pot found in either the baby or the mother. He said his wife was really upset about it, and don't get me started. I think that's one of the most horrible losses of liberty that we've got, that we cannot hold on to our children if we're poor or if we are in a custody battle. Same thing, you know, a bunch of lawyers can't hold on to your little infants. That is a gigantic loss of liberty. He talked openly and without embarrassment about his relationship with God. Echoing something the House Free have expressed to me before, he said, I love this life. I met God out here. He said, I'm doing the work for him. He takes care of me. All he asks is that I spread love and respect. It was amazing that he still felt that way, because I found out they'd just had all their stuff confiscated by the Rangers the day before. They'd slept on the ground in the park last night, without their tent and sleeping bags. The thing he was saddest about was his guitar. With that, he'd been able to make a little money as a street musician. They'd found an old shag rug to sleep in and had spent a very cold night. He said that when their stuff was taken, they hadn't even left their camp, but were sitting just a few yards away. See, the Rangers come and take all their stuff if they don't take their tents down immediately. Like, I don't know what time, or if right when the sun comes up or something. I don't know. I think it's 7 a.m. or I'd like to find out. But if they leave their stuff is often gone. Everything, you know, their diaries, their backpack, their tent, their sleeping bag. They just put it in the back of a cart and drive off. When they came back, everything was gone. The Rangers must have been very quiet. He said, attachment leads to suffering. He said it was okay to lose things because someone else might need them. But he admitted that since sleeping on the ground, he felt a pain in his left side. He asked for nothing and seemed to minimize his many challenges. I gave him a packaged dinner I happened to have in my satchel, which had been given away by a charity group at the Horseshoe the evening before. I went to Goodwill to buy him a blanket or sleeping bag, but they didn't have any. We had to settle for a curtain panel and a bright red Christmas tablecloth, which might be better than nothing. He wondered again why his wife stayed with him out here. Then he told me that when they got married, the minister seemed in a hurry and rushed through the ceremony. He said he wished it had lasted longer. Then we went to Whole Foods, where I used my card to get him a little money in cash, which he tried to refuse. Sitting on the benches outside Whole Foods, we shared the gentrified cookies I had to buy to use the card. A well-groomed couple walked by, obviously not of the same class as the dirty kids. They called themselves dirty kids, panhandling nearby with their dogs. My friend said to the man, "I like your jacket." I laughed at the thought of this grubby, slightly overweight guy with dreadlocks telling this elite-looking guy that he liked his fashion sense. He said, "I like to give people compliments. It makes their day." He told me how one day he asked God for just one cigarette, and within minutes he found a whole pack lying on the ground. He said, "Why would he care about just me?" He said, "You have to learn to live with joy in your heart. I know from my conversations with him that it pains him to see us in pain." He said that he'd seen God. It was easy for me to see what his wife saw in him.
That's wonderful, Joan. Your writing is exquisite.
Thank you.
The word that comes just came in spontaneously, because your words are well chosen, bang, 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 and your use is just, thank you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you, Joan.
Appreciate it.
Joan Rivard. So again, check out peacedrums.org for some more of her writing.
Oh,
and
yeah,
happy.
I turned 70.
What?
Yeah,
happy
you
birthday.
Didn't know. It was 70. It was my 70th birthday.
Happy is a birthday. A yes. Septuagenarian.
I'm a septuagenarian, if I can pronounce it.
I like that word.
I'm octogenarian. So
yeah.
Yes.
I call Dave a roctogenarian.
Oh.
I guess it's
we're
really
both
not
hippie
that.
Rocks in my head. We are. It's so
we
good
are not extinct, though.
Yeah, it's so good to have you, and whatever help we give you getting that better. Because what you do is important work, Joan, up there, and bringing the people together and feeling full of the spirit, bringing the spirit, letting them know you appreciate them and what they do.
Thank you very much.
You appreciate them and what they do. So Val, tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
We're gonna have a spin-off, which is a book party for your book. Tell us a bit about it.
Well, it's my book release party for San Francisco.
Better place to go.
And you know, the book came out in September, so it's been a slow release.
It's time release.
It's a time release. So it's gonna be really fun. It's gonna be from 8 to 10 right here at Mutiny Radio. At the corner of 21st and Florida. What is the address here, Val?
We are at 2781 21st Street.
All right, 2781 21st Street.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mia Byrne, who is a singer-songwriter, has laid down some tracks that we're going to use in between some of the poems, and during the end when I'm signing books, there will be like kind of a block of her.
That makes it a double debut, because we're debuting your book, Ordinary
Villains.
We're
debuting some new songs from Mia Byrne.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of poets who have been important in putting this book together have agreed to show up and do some poems. And I have Lourdes Figueroa and Thea Matthews and Lauren Ito and the fantastic Global Val Ibarra are going to be helping me out with my feature part of the evening. And then I've got my editor, Natasha Dennerstein, is going to put in an appearance.
So cool.
Yeah, it is so cool. And she really whipped me into shape, let me tell you what. Like, she's a good editor. And, like, you know, who wants an easy editor? Like, let's just be clear about that. it provides an amazing, she provided me an amazing opportunity to really like grow my work as a poet on the page. So I can't wait to hear what she brings.
And how the poems connect to one another as well.
You know, I did most of that. she pushed me in a lot of the page work, like the structure of it. She was actually really happy about that, because I spent about a year and a half working on that manuscript, so that part was pretty set. But yeah, she was great. Let's see, Natasha Dennerstein is coming. Jennifer Barone is coming, and Ingrid Keir.
Wonderful hostesses of the Word Party.
Yep, the wonderful hostesses of the Word Party. And we've got Tongo Eisen Martin coming, who blurbed the back of the book, as well as Kim Shuck. And my old friend, Charlie Getter. So... those are folks who are making an appearance, and it's going to be a live show. So show up if you can, but if you can't, you can live stream it. And if that's just too late for you, then you can download it as a podcast sometime after, anytime you want. So that's what's neat.
That's right. Yeah.
And thank you, Val, for having the idea.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm
it's
pumped.
Pretty neat.
Yeah, I mean, EK's, you know, sound.